Scripture be read from the book of Psalms, chapter 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, burying the seeds for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Well, there have been a lot of tears lately. It seems that every week we gather here faced with another shooting or a hurricane or fires out of control, some political catastrophe that hits us in the gut. We don't want to be, but we're becoming numb. Our hearts are overwhelmed. With each new tragedy, a little piece of our hearts break off. And in order to survive, we just pick it back up and we tape it together so we can face the rest of our day, the rest of our lives. And yet I'm so mindful that for some people, there is not enough tape to bind it back together. There's no way to mask it. Too broken, too burned, too ripped apart, too much. Those who reap in sorrow. Now, it's hard for me to tell someone who's so broken to give thanks. I think sometimes when you do, you don't get the answer you're hoping for, offering that silver lining. It's okay. Just count your blessings. They often come off feeling angry and unheard, when really they just want solidarity, presence. And in that, even if it is unarticulated, there is a gratitude for love, for presence, for that shoulder to cry on, and that mess to open up with full vulnerability. So I wonder, how then do we hold this brokenness of our world, the brokenness of our own hearts? How do we live in this world where mass shootings are now the norm, where our children's schools are regularly shut down somewhere in our community any given week of the month, where tragedy threatens to numb us at the hour, every hour? How do we live with the sorrow and the anger and the powerlessness, the pain? How do we sow our tears, but also reap with shouts of joy? It almost sounds impossible, doesn't it? Because this is our new normal. This is what we live with. It'd be easy for us to always be sorrowful, easy for us to live in outrage, easiest of all to just live numb, to let the pain bounce off of us in our hardened hearts so that we don't have to fully feel all of the emotions that overwhelm us each time we hear about another school, another shooter, another synagogue, another church, another bar, another fire, another this or another that, that barrels into our consciousness and overtakes us with grief. How can we handle all of this? How do we fully feel the emotions of horror without becoming so numb that we just expect another tragedy, but also not fully submerge ourselves so deeply in this powerlessness that we forget the joy of life. This is a tension that we hold, questions we must ask. So I think on a day like today, when we consider what we're thankful for, there's something to be said for gratitude. Now, I don't mean this in a thank God it wasn't my kid killed kind of way, or thank God that wasn't my house on fire. Even though, if we're honest, we've probably said that thank you prayer. But that's not what I'm getting at. I don't think we should play our blessings against someone else's loss. Instead, we have to walk that very fine line to hold that tension of grief, sorrow, heartache, and the psalmist tells us to reap shouts of joy. This is a constant question for us because the ever presence of weighty and heartbreaking news overwhelms us each day. So first we have to identify where we are personally, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. If we're in crisis, then we are in a different place than when we're not in crisis. So if you're currently living in a shelter because your home has been lost or on the verge of being lost, then we're in a different place than most of us today. If our child died or even nearly died in a shooting or any kind of an accident, we're in a different place. If we're in a crisis mode, we're in a different place than this regular onslaught of bad news that breaks our hearts on the daily. That said, I've witnessed people who have survived incredible tragedy and trauma, who live with humble gratitude, and it blows me away. You probably have too. But right now, I'm going to focus not so much on those who are currently living with trauma, although that might be you today, but I'm thinking about how all of us hold this tension and feel traumatized by the news in the day-to-day realities of our world. Because even though we want to unsee or bury our heads in the sand, we know we can't do that. That's not the responsible thing to do. That's not the empathetic thing to do. But we won't be so burdened that we can't experience joy and live in gratitude. So first off, I think that naming the tension itself is important, because we do have to hold it together. We can't be so immersed in our pain that we fail to experience all of life's joys. But we also can't be so self-consumed that we refuse to listen to the news and simply ignore the weight of the world. So we have to hold this tension with intention. When we are intentional about life, we can be present without being overwhelmed. We can be horrified by this, but also be joyful because of this. Now, I think this is a really difficult piece to master. In no way do I think that I have mastered this, so please don't look to me as your guru, because I so often become overwhelmed by the justice of the world and its pain, its brokenness, and I very often feel guilty because of my undeserved privilege. I've been long wary of using words like blessed because I struggle with having so many undeserved blessings when others do not have those same. I have so many privileges that have afforded me a better life, being born white in America, Orange County no less, struggling with infertility and yet succeeding in bearing two beautiful children, parents and grandparents, family that have loved me and gifted me with expectation and opportunity. Am I grateful for privilege? And if so, to who? God? My parents? My grandparents? These are questions we have to ask and live with. Perhaps you've also asked some of those very same questions and maybe even carried much of the same guilt. I have a hard time celebrating Thanksgiving, a day that was born out of a legend about immigrant refugees who found home and safety in America, when we have military at our border to intimidate pilgrims from Central America who are seeking asylum in this very land. It feels hypocritical, And I struggle with that hypocrisy. I feel guilty about feasting on the abundance of food when I know that there are people around the world and even in our own communities who grow hungry. I know that people volunteer during the holidays but practice NIMBYism the rest of the year. That's a lot to hold. But I think just in naming it, we find importance. We begin a process to name our privilege, to name our discomfort, to name the fact that we know there's some hypocrisy here and we're not entirely comfortable with it. If we don't name it, but we instead ignore it, then we really are guilty of self-indulgence. But I think we can name it, and we can hold it, and we can work for transformation. So I'm not just advocating to name it and then be done, but name it, hold it, intentionally reflect upon it, give it time, thought, presence, and then action. So at the same time, we intentionally focus ourselves on all of these things that are happening in this world that cause us grief and pain and guilt. We also must set aside intentional time to focus our awareness on gratitude. Of course, that's what we do this week, but we must be so intentional about it because transformation comes in gratitude. Because if we're not intentional, we will just get swallowed up in the sorrow. We will sink in the guilt. We'll become overwhelmed by the mess of this world. And when that happens, we're no good to anybody. We cannot be a part of the change. We cannot enjoy the goodness it is because we won't be able to see it. And there is so much goodness that is. There really, truly is so much joy to reap. I don't ever want to dismiss the pain, but I also don't want to dismiss the joy, the hope, the harvest of blessings, as we might call it, or the awareness of goodness among us, because there's so much gratitude to be had. The more we look for it, the more we find, the more joy we're able to sow. But joy, intentional joy, that does not dismiss the pain of the world, then it just becomes some consumeristic holiday where we eat a lot and feel good about ourselves. That's not what we're doing here. We're advancing our faith. We are delving further into our relationship with God and humanity and God's creation so that we can be fuller, wholer selves that heal and comfort a hurting and a broken world. For the last year or so, I've been working with a spiritual director who, among other things, has reminded me to breathe. That's so funny, right? To breathe. So my prayer has been as simple as breath. Without the distraction of words, I've focused my mind, my intention, and my loving prayer on my breath. My mind is full. I tend to worry a lot. Might know that about me. I keep my plate pretty full, and I'm now juggling the tasks of parenthood and full-time ministry, and I like to take every single moment to think about something and then rethink about it and think about it again. Worry, solve, problem, solve, multitask. And so I've come to realize that when our minds are so full, we cannot take the necessary time to recharge, to create, to be creative, and ultimately, do the very thing we are called to do here, connect in spirit with God and self. So I've been trying to breathe for the last year. We'll see how I do at it. I try. But I've tried something this last month in addition to my breathing. As I focus on my meditation, on my prayer of breath, I breathe in. And I breathe out, and I thank God for Ruach, the Spirit's breath in me. I focus on the intaking of Spirit, its indwelling in me, and then breathing it back out into the world. So when thoughts come up, as they inevitably do, normally I just try to acknowledge that thought and let it go. I learned that years ago with a Buddhist practice. But this month, I have taken to saying, thank you for this particular thought. And then I send it off. And it's actually a little bit ironic because a lot of times this thing that I am worried about I'm not really thankful for at all. I want it out of my life. I'm not grateful for the anxiety. I don't want it. But then it's like Christina's song, I do it anyway. Because I'm trying to cultivate gratitude. I'm trying to sow sorrow and reap joy. So if a thought comes up about what I have to do for Molly, perhaps, I remember that she has to go to soccer practice, and I have to be sure that she gets her uniform, and I have to make sure that Marquise brings the water, and all these thoughts go, I stop and thank God that she has soccer and this blessing that has been in her life, and then I let the thought go for now. It doesn't solve anything. Nothing's resolved. I just become thankful. Other times I'm thinking about our budget here at the church or our board and who's going to serve next year, and I'm worried about filling these seats, and I get really consumed with the worry about what are we going to do next. So then this month I've stopped and I've thanked God for our church, for the opportunities we have to serve. And then I say, I thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to think creatively about the budget and the people who contribute to ours. And that doesn't solve anything. But I try not to focus on the actual anxiety or the worry. I know I can count on myself to worry about that later. I certainly will. But for right now, I just thank God for the reason why I'm worrying. So I thank God for the board and their service, and I thank God that leaders will rise. And so even though my thoughts, my anxieties, my worries aren't actually solved in that moment, I don't let the anxiety take over. I don't let the thoughts drive my mind. I've chosen to be thankful and then to refocus myself on breath, welcoming the Spirit into my body, my mind, my heart, allowing it to indwell in me, releasing it back into the world to transform and heal and bring peace in all the places that I cannot fix right now, if ever. So here's what I found in this process. I can do this almost any time. When things are logistically hard and I'm surrounded by little people, as I so often am, or the demands of ministry and life, I've learned I can do this in the bathroom. All I need is a minute. And it's so easy for me to say, I don't have a minute. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. If I go into the bathroom and I breathe for a minute, and I let my breath be my prayer, and I cultivate gratitude, I recognize that I benefit from it. I slow down. I become more aware of the things that matter. And even as I cannot change all the mess of the world, I ground myself deeper in God's love and sharing that love with those I can be part of a transformation. So I've also found that this intentional gratitude makes me feel happier. I feel better. I really do. It doesn't undo this need to accomplish all of those things, but I know I can count on myself to worry about that in a moment. But when I feel grateful for it, somehow it changes. I feel like I have more power. It's not something that's happening to me. It's something that I can own and hold. I feel grateful for that I have this power. And I know that this might just be semantics, like that you might say that to me. But here's the thing, words matter. Thoughts matter. Intentions make a difference. So I feel better. I feel the weight lift off of me. When I connect with the Spirit, I feel grounded. I feel God. And I remind myself, as I've said, that these things that have me worried today will not always worry me. They don't need to dominate my every moment. When I connect with the eternal, the things of now get put into perspective. And finally, I have the energy to be more present to the needs of others, the obligations that I've committed to, and even the pain that I feel and am constantly surrounded with in the world. It's a little ironic, isn't it, that by giving thanks and gratitude, I can be more present to my pain and not overwhelmed and dominated by it? It's naming the tension with intention, that I can acknowledge this pain, that I can experience it, But I can also ground myself in the Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God in me and in our world. And I can then name the joys in my life, in our world, our shared joys together. I can experience it. I can even, as crazy as this sounds, reap it in the midst of the hurting and the brokenness that surrounds us. And I can even live with the tension that I feel a little bit guilty about it, because I'm intentional about the tension. So, I want to ask you to join me. Like I told you, it's just a moment. Sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable. But will you hold this space with me? Will you breathe in? And breathe out. Whatever thoughts come into your mind, be thankful for them. Breathing in, breathing out. Feeling grateful and letting go. Breathing in, we invite that breath of the Spirit into our bodies. We breathe it deeper, feeling it reach into our core. And then we breathe it out, sending out all that love of the Spirit that is in us back into this room, commingling with the breath of God in one another as it moves in and out and beyond this sanctuary into our community. You breathe it in and give thanks for breath. When our minds fill, we release with gratitude, intentionally filling the breath of Spirit, exhaling it back into the world. Breathing in, gratitude, peace, love, the breath of God in us, in breath, exhaling out that gratitude, that breath. We give thanks and we breathe. We hold the tension with intention. We breathe. We breathe in gratitude. We breathe out gratitude. The Spirit is in us, among us. We breathe out. Amen.